Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys are in the right place for comedy. Get up for yourselves for being here. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. We got Brian at the bar serving drinks. Give it up for Brian. He's working hard for you guys. There's no cocktail service in the lab, so just head up to Brian if you need anything. Just head up there. Please observe the one-eyed minimum. Sounds of cell phones, no talking during the show. And let's give it up for our host. She's the host with the most. Please welcome to the stage the host and the creator of Story Smash, the storytelling game show, Christine Blackburn.
My name is Christine Blackburn, and you guys are here on a fantastic night. Wait until you see the talent in this room. By round of applause, who has never been to Story Smash? Are you kidding me? Where have you been? You guys, this is where you need to be. And we're going to get this show started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel and one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can pick any topic on the wheel to tell their story. There's also 3 spaces that say audience. And if the storyteller lands on audience, and somebody always does, then it's up to you guys to shout out your story suggestions, and our expert judges will choose one of those names for the contestant's story, yeah?
Yeah.
So start thinking of your topics now, okay? All right, and speaking of expert judges, let's get started right away. The first judge coming to the stage is a comic and a writer who spent 5 years working on At Midnight. Plus, he's the host of Lucha Vavoom, which is a burlesque professional Mexican wrestling show. As if you didn't know that. Not to mention, I gotta tell you, man, this is one of the funniest guys you'll ever follow on Twitter, really. Put your hands together for Blaine Kopech. All right, there he is. The next judge coming to the stage is an actress and a comedian, and she's best known for playing the role of Flo on the Progressive insurance commercials. You've seen her in films like Blades of Glory, Heartbreak Kid, and her reoccurring television shows, Mad Men, and she was also, or is, a reoccurring character on ABC's The Goldbergs. You guys, please welcome to the stage, Stephanie Courtney. Yeah. Stephanie Courtney, are you kidding me? We've got talent, you guys, we've got talent. And our final judge here tonight has been a regular on Story Smash for over a year and a half. He's an Emmy Award-winning television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, which is heading into its 11th and final season. Did you know that?
Oh, say it
itself. And he also has a brand new book out. It's called He Started It, and it chronicles his Twitter war with dipshit President Donald Trump. Put your hands together for Danny Zucker! Yeah. All right. Wow. What an incredible show, you guys, we have tonight. Now, Danny and Stephanie have both been judges before. Blaine has not.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
So true.
So we're going to fill you in. Here's how we play the game. We're going to play 3 rounds. The first round, all 5 contestants are going to come up for a true 1-minute story. 1 minute's very fast.
So fast.
The second round, everybody comes back up and they tell a true 2-minute story. And then the third round, you guys have the very difficult task of choosing 2 storytellers to go on to the final round, and they'll tell a true 3-minute story. How's that, yeah? Okay, so you guys are judging on the ability to stay on topic. Mm-hmm. We want them to stay on the topic.
Right.
Right, and then also the story.
Yeah, primarily, I would say.
Primarily.
Yeah.
And then also the time, because we don't want to go over time, because if they go over their allotted time, they'll hear this. And that's no good. That's no good, because then the story's over and we go right to the judges.
Yeah.
Right.
And your computer's gone out of your car.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then, by the way, you guys are going to choose the winner, and that person's going to walk away with my homemade chocolate chip cookies. So I'm just saying.
They're fantastic.
The stakes are high.
She needs that container back.
That's right. When the contestants come to the stage, I'm going to say to you, tell them what to do, and then you're going to say this.
Spin that wheel.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. But they're going to get it, though, I think, once we get going.
I believe in them.
All right, so Danny and Stephanie, do you have any notes for Blaine?
I mean, have fun with it. That's the big note.
That's the big note.
My
just
note
have fun.
Is if you take one of those cookies home mm-hmm. and feed it to your child, you don't have to, in a panic, email Christine Blackburn and say, is there pot in those cookies? I gave it to my kid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she says, don't worry, I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drugged my friends one time, and I'll never hear the end of it.
Okay. I hope they don't have poinsettias in them, because my cat might eat them.
Spin that wheel!
That's the poinsettia, very, very...
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, that is, man.
I could have gone with dogs and chocolate, but I think cats and poinsettias being poisonous is funnier than dogs and chocolate.
I agree.
Right.
I think the dogs and chocolate thing has been explored.
It has, for sure.
Yeah.
It has.
In my house.
Yeah. By the way, if you have poinsettias in your house and a cat, get them out of there.
Okay, and that's a little holiday advice, really.
Yeah, a little holiday advice.
Okay.
Christmas in
July.
The
more you know.
The more you know. There are five names in this jar. Four people have been booked on this show, and then there's also one person coming up who's an audience member. So that's not easy to do.
No. I mean, I could do it.
Right.
Yeah.
You could do it, yeah. Okay, Stephanie, you excited?
I'm so excited.
All right, well, let's get started right away, shall we? All right, you guys, the first contestant coming to the stage. This contestant, she was originally born in Jakarta, Indonesia, and she's an award-winning writer, comic, and storyteller who performs all over the world. Now, last year, she filmed her first half-hour comedy special, and she was named, get this, Indonesia's top 10 young and talented stand-up comedians.
That's a very competitive group.
Take that to the bank. Please welcome Melanie Maris.
Yay! Woo!
All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
10 points.
That's bribery.
And we're off. That was a hard spin.
Keep my tie away from that thing.
Oh my god.
It's my biggest fear is my tie getting sucked into the grocery store conveyor belt.
Oh boy. Oh no.
This is...
Oh, yeah, hate to see that. First up.
And we know how good she is in Indonesia.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no.
But can she pull this off
now
tonight?
She's one of the top 10.
I've heard that.
In Indonesia.
I've heard that. You guys, she landed on audience. This is not easy, really, for any of us.
No.
So why don't you guys now shout out your story topics and our judges will choose one.
Indonesia!
Getting lost. Ooh, that's why I lost.
Commercials, gym class, menstruation. I think you pronounced it wrong, but
yeah, I don't want to hear yeah.
Menstruation, Indonesia, Jakarta.
I wouldn't mind hearing about some Indonesian commercials.
Oh,
oh,
you hear that?
What is it?
We're talking about. Well, he was like an Indonesian commercial. Indonesia getting lost.
Yeah,
I like the getting lost.
Those are the two I liked.
Getting lost.
Getting lost. You got
getting
that?
Lost.
Okay.
That's what she's talking about. Getting lost. Here she goes.
Woo!
Round of applause. Come on.
Okay, so I have an older brother, but he's kind of like my younger brother. And he had this girlfriend, and she was like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then she was like, oh, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And he wasn't a gentleman. He didn't go with her to get the abortion or pay for it, like a dumbass. So anyway, so then she comes back from the abortion, and she's like, I did it. Here's what happened. No more baby, right? And so then months pass, and then they break up. They get back together. And she goes, oh, hey, remember how I told you I got that abortion? Just kidding. I didn't get the abortion. I'm 5 months pregnant. And so then my brother calls me, and he's like, I'm coming to L.A. To bring my girlfriend to get a late-term abortion. Don't tell Dad. So then they come to L.A. I'm living in West Hollywood at the time, the neighborhood. And he makes me go with them every day to the late-term abortion clinic. And I say every day because it's like a three-day process because the baby's like big. You know, it's hard to kill it. And then on the last day... Fuck! And then on the last day, they
We got to hear the ending.
No. I want to hear about this.
Yeah, we need to hear this. Go ahead.
So the last day, they go back to their hotel. My brother calls me, and he's like, hey, he's like, you get your anus bleached, right? And I was like, no. And he's like, I could have sworn that you did. And I was like, I'm not going to explore that further. And he's like, do you know a good place? And I was like, it's West Hollywood. Get on Yelp. You can, you know, they're open to men. It's a totally, it's common in the neighborhood. And he goes, oh, it's not for me.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, it took a turn
getting
at the
lost.
End. Yeah.
Getting lost.
I was getting
was
lost.
The topic.
They got lost. No, I know. It's getting lost and then murdering a child. So I'm just kidding. I'm very pro-choice. I wanted to do a really late-term abortion on my twins, when they turn 14. Truly. So I get it. Yeah. I mean, I like the story. I wish you had gotten it all into 1 minute. I don't know. Like, we gave you extra time, and you filled that time with anal bleaching, which I found to be an interesting left turn.
That was the button, Danny.
The butt.
That was the button.
Get it?
Sorry.
Okay, got it.
Stephanie.
Okay, well, first of all, it's, I'm talking into my wine, y'all.
Cut her off.
I do camera work. Okay, guys, so first of all, it's Sweet Cheeks on Ventura is where you get your anal bleach. And a neighbor told me. And secondly, I love right in the middle, with the kind of the most urgency of the whole story was, don't tell Dad. And he's going to find out because now it's out in the world.
Yeah.
I would love it to be contained in a minute, but you are charm personified and you got me wine. So none of these bastards did, so 10 points.
Okay, Blaine Kapach.
Well, it reminded me that I have to call my anal bleaching guy. And it reminded me that you shouldn't bleach your anus while you're using any other cleaning equipment. Because it might generate chlorine gas, which is very, very poisonous.
Oh, God.
So to to cats especially. So if you're making cookies with chlorine gas while you're bleaching your anus... keep your cats away from that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say, I'm going to give her 10 points for because I've had a few abortions in my life.
There are no points, by
there's
the
no
way.
Points. It's not a point system. I just want to just jump on that also, just because learn from me. If you don't ever bleach your anus with your colors, because my anus turned pink. Anyway, there we go.
Melanie Maris, let her hear it. Melanie Maris. You got to keep it separate, you know? The whites and the colors.
Have you ever tie-dyed your anus?
So
you kind of pull it out, you tie it off with a rope, and then you hit it with some bleach.
It was the rage in the 70s.
Oh, man.
Then you're like, I'm not that person.
All right, you guys, the next contestant coming to the stage, he is a comedian who performs here at the Improv and also the Laugh Factory, and he was nominated for a Shorty Award in the category of the funniest YouTube comedian. Come on, that ain't nothing. Put your hands together for Mike Falzone. Mike Falzone. All right, tell them what to do, guys. There we go. All right. Hooking up.
Okay. It normally lasts a minute anyway, so this is perfect. Shit. Okay. My parents, I grew up as an only child in Connecticut, and my parents didn't talk about things that were hard to talk about. I had to find out about sex all by myself, which is not good when you're a teenage boy. I remember we had a park down the street from us, and the park had a wishing well and a payphone. It's not the best park. I think we had a hill, but they got rid of it at some point. So we used to scoop change out of the wishing well and try to call phone sex lines on the payphone. And we didn't ever get through. That's not how that business works. Turns out that's a credit card only business. Those ladies aren't scooping machine money, right? So I didn't know that girls knew that guys came. I thought that was just a fucked up trick that I had. So at the end of my first blowjob, I was like, no, 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 no. You gotta go. It's gonna get gross.
Mike Falzone, wow. Perfect story. Great time. Stay right here. Blaine Kapach.
I loved it. No notes.
Yeah. Stephanie Courtney.
Again, great opening joke. That was awesome. And no chance of abortion with a blowjob. Good. Good.
Wow. Well, good note.
Well done.
Okay, Danny Zucker.
Yeah, I was really going to say blown away. And I'm not going to. I swear I was going to say that sincerely. That's a great story, and I do remember that. I remember that moment of when stuff came out. Because I sort of, you get this grace period if you're sexually precocious, as I was, where it was like, oh, this feels great, and there's that moment, and there's no evidence. And then early puberty is a nightmare. I felt, it was like, it's my version of the shower scene in Carrie, what I did to my...
You mean you threw tampons at your penis?
No, I just was like, I was humping the invisible woman, and now there was evidence. It was a horrible moment. And it's all been downhill from there. there.
It's so much semen on you, you look like a Cinnabon.
Oh, God. Mike Falzone. Let him hear it, you guys. Mike Falzone. Wow, that was something.
Can I say there's another comedian from back east named Mike Falzone, and he's funnier than that one.
Wow. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now. Now, this is interesting. This guy actually won the last Story Smash, so he's back as our reoccurring champ. He's also from my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but that's not why he's on the show. He's on a show because he's a talented comedian and an actor, perhaps best known for his role in the Scorsese movie Goodfellas. Hopefully, we're going to hear all about it. Put your hands together for the one and only Bob Golub. Tell him what to do, guys.
And there we are.
And there he goes. Breakup.
Oh, all right. So, breakup. I'm trying to think of this. All right. So I'm dating this girl in Staten Island. And her name was Ingeborg Hayashi. She was like half Japanese and half German. I think she's pissed off. She lost the war twice, right? And she went to Smith College. Beautiful, all that. You know, everything. She worked. She had a job. Everything. But she was crazy. I didn't realize this till we started living together. And she was, like, obsessive. Like, I'm watching a Penn State game. There's 105,000 people. I go, oh, that's a good-looking girl. Did you fuck her? Are you serious? That's how crazy it was, right? So I had to break up with her because she tried to run me over with her car. She literally tried to run me over with her car. And I, even though she was so good-looking and so smart and she made good money, I didn't want to end up fucking dead, right? So we end up breaking up.
All right, Bob Golub, there you go. Nice, concise story, 50 seconds long. That's a nice time.
Should I go 10? You want 10 seconds more?
I think you're okay.
Yeah, we're good, we're good.
Blank a patch.
Well, it sort of concerned me that you moved in with her, and then that shit happened. So I wonder if it was you. But... you're a good guy. I don't think it was you. What? It's not him, isn't it, you guys? Come on. It took me back to a lot of old relationships that I would have rather not been in, Bob. And I thank you for that. Back to you, Christine.
Okay, Danny Zucker.
Look, I have some thoughts about it, but last month I learned that you spent a lot of time in jail and had a violent past. So I'm simply going to say, amazing. No. Good job, and, like, don't hurt me. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, Stephanie Courtney.
So now I'm putting the puzzle pieces together, and I'm like, well, did the jail stuff happen before running you over with a car? Now I'm trying to see who's truly to blame here. I'm going to talk to my wine from now on. No, that was really funny and crazy, but I'm sure the three-minute story is going to be about what led to that murder attempt. I hope. I want to know.
Okay,
he didn't say it was murder.
Bob Golub.
Good job, Bob.
All right. Bigger round of applause. Come on. This is hard. This is not easy. I got to tell you. Oh, and with that in mind, guess what? It's time for our audience member.
Oh, my God.
Always exciting.
Please let it be Tom Brokaw. I saw him in the back. Please let it be Tom Brokaw.
Hand over the...
Greatest Generation.
The can.
It's a shame he's not going to be around.
Danny Zucker, who's playing the game tonight?
Craig Roll.
Craig Roll, whoever you are. Craig, come on up. There you are. Nice to know. All right, give me a hug. Why not? Hey, listen, this is not easy, you guys, so be very, very kind and tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
That's a nice spin.
The spin brought to you by Swiffer. When you don't really feel like cleaning anything, don't really clean anything with Swiffer.
Oh.
Holly Weird.
Woo! All right. What does that mean?
It's me. Anything you want it to be.
Does
you know.
Does it have to be funny? I'm not very funny.
No, it doesn't have to be funny.
Makes all sense right. Why you'd sign up for this. Anyway, go on.
All right. Hey, everyone. So I came down to live in a hostel in Hollywood, the Orange Hostel, if you want to go stay there. 3 months ago, and I had a great time. I took some classes here during an existential crisis, and met a lot of great people, and now I've moved down here permanently, you know, to live the Hollywood dream. I've been working in nonprofits and government, and this is the complete opposite. And my family's like, you should go be successful. You know, you have good things in your resume. And I said, no. Family expectations, societal expectations, bye. I'm going to go be poor. So I'm currently poor and single. I have no pets. I have nobody that cares about me or loves me. My family is 3,000 miles away.
Yep.
And I hang out with Spider-Man and Batman on a regular basis on Hollywood Boulevard. And that's
wow.
My life. And I love going to shows and supporting local arts. So thanks for having me. And I have 5 seconds left. I just want to say I love you, Mom, Grandma, Aunt.
All right, Craig. Way to go. Great story. Stay right here. Great story. Wow. He just knocked it out of the ballpark. Plus, it was kind of like a dating profile.
Yeah.
Stephanie, what do you think?
I have a lot of thoughts. Listen, I'm 107 years old. Everything good that happened for me came after like a couple of decades of just, I had a car that would not go in reverse for 3 months.
Wait a minute. You have a good gig?
I have.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was on The Man Show in 2004, and it changed my life. What I'm saying is, you do not stop, sir. You follow those dreams. I am proud of you, and man, go for it.
That was adorable. Danny.
Just counterpoint. It's totally cool to stop if it doesn't work out.
I get it.
It's pretty fucking miserable for most people. Yeah, she's being very optimistic. No, it's great. It's great that you found... I mean, to leave that fuck you money from nonprofits must have been hard. Like, you know, I had it all. I'm working at nonprofits. And that, I mean, it's a tough story. But no, honestly, good luck. That was not easy to do. You told a concise story, and you had everybody rooting for you. And I hope you do well, but I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Okay.
Blaine Kapach.
I agree with the first two judges. I would like to add some director's commentary at the end if you have the Blu-ray. One thing I was missing was the existential crisis. What was that? We've all had
great
a little
question.
Existential...
I'm saving that for the next round.
Oh.
That's smart.
Oh.
It's really, he's that's thinking.
That's cool.
Nice.
No, but you have some time to think of it now because you promised it.
He's like Eve Harrington. It's like, oh, he's so innocent. Wait a minute. He's gamed this entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very competitive. Yeah.
He's been sleeping behind Fred Siegel for a few days, prepping for this.
I know, just lining up. I think he might have stuffed that whole can. It might be all his name in there. We don't know.
Audience participation at this event.
Oh, well, now you know. Welcome. Wow.
His shirt tails out, but his shirt is ironed.
Yeah. I know. Not homeless.
Give it up for Craig, you guys. Give it up. Come on. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you, man.
You're coming back. You're coming back for another round. Get the hell out of here. All right, you guys, there's one person
left. That's what happened with Howie Mandel. He came up on the improv, and he was so funny that the next day he was Howie Mandel. That happens. You just saw it happen here tonight.
It happened. All right, you guys. This is our final contestant coming up for their first true story. It's a 1-minute story. She's coming right now. She currently voices the character Roxy on BoJack Horseman, and she's also the creator star of the web series Bitter Homes and Gardens, which is very, very funny. I watched quite a few of them. Super funny. It also won the Best Comedy at the Palm Springs Film Festival. Please welcome Fielding Edlow.
Yeah.
There she is. All right. Tell her what to do, guys. Nice spin.
That show is genius. Oh my God. Yeah. I worked with this guy, Joe Lawson, who wrote a lot of those. He's a good guy.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Looking up.
All right. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm a sober person. Okay, but, and everyone talks about, you know, their bottom, but no one talks about their top. I fucked a deaf guy on coke. And it was the best night of my life. So his name was called Deaf Dan. So I knew him at college. He'd like rock out on a speaker and he'd be like, I like the Stone Temple Pilots. And I was like, great. So then I run into him on the street in New York and like I'm hammered. I left. I'm like, and he's like, I run into him. I'm like, do you know where we can get some coke? And he's like, by the way, if you're judging me, you have your hearing. Okay. So, and then he's like, I do. So then he got his dealer and we go back to my apartment and then we start fucking. And I'm a people pleaser. Like, I always want to know how we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's like how, and I didn't know because he's deaf. So, like, I grab him. And I was like, how are we doing? And then he just looked at me and he goes, you feel great, Fielding. And he left his number, but I didn't know how to call it. Thank you.
Fielding Edlow. Wow. Stay right here. Wow.
I'm sorry, but that's a great story. That's a good story. My sister went to Rochester Institute of Technology and was in the deaf dorm and had to move because apparently they're very loud fuckers because they don't know.
Yeah.
And so it was like on a Friday night, it was like howler monkeys. And
I don't know if you can say that. Can you say that?
Can you say howler in 2019?
I think you say howler monkeys. Yeah. Jeez. No, this is not. That was. Not, I mean, I was not. This is not a racial. You can call.
Okay.
They. I think it's endearing.
Mm-hmm. For the disabled.
They don't even hear.
Yeah. They can't hear you.
But at night, that's how she described it. It was like the beginning of like just animal noises, like two cats.
Blank a patch.
I love the story, and I love the hat
so much.
The pattern on the jacket and the fucking pants.
All right.
It's impossible to pull those three off, and you did it in the dark.
Stephanie.
I have never done coke, but I hear that it like vivisects out like your empathy and your love for people. So the fact that you still cared about his experience tells me that you're stronger than coke.
Thank you.
I love that.
Amazing.
All right,
and you have a career in driving the TMZ tour bus.
Let her hear it. Fielding Edlow. Okay, you guys, all five names go back into the jar for the next round, which is a true two-minute story. But real quick, I want to give a big shout-out to Brian at the bar. Thank you, Brian,
for helping us.
Tip him well, please. Also, Rick in the back, man. I got to tell you, Rick on the sound cues, he's genius. He's just absolutely genius. Thank you so much. And my buddy Jim Coughlin right here to my right, helping me out every single month. Thank you, Jim Coughlin.
Jim.
He's got a whole posse here with him, which is nice. And now, you guys, coming up for a true, let me help you.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Christine. Thank you.
No worries. Coming up.
What a diva.
Five-second rule with the pen.
Coming up for a true two-minute story. It's twice the fun, you guys. It's the one and only Melanie Maris. Melanie!
Oh, my God. Same order.
All right. She was first last time. So that's ironic.
It's crazy.
Here she is. All right, you guys. Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, man. Now they got it.
This wheel spin brought to you by Glade Plugins. The smell of your house burning down while you're at work.
Oh, beautiful.
That means you get to pick anything. That's a good thing.
Chef's choice.
Melanie, can you never be happy?
It kind of makes up for the first one where they
picked. It's the best possible outcome.
Now, she can tell any story topic on the wheel.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it has to be on the wheel.
Yeah, so what are you going to tell us? Tell us what you're going to tell us.
Okay, I'm going to tell you... I'm going to tell you... hooking up.
Hooking up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so my last relationship, my boyfriend decided that the perfect time to end it, like, with no warning was, like, right before Christmas. I guess because he was hoping I would kill myself on Christmas. Spoiler alert, I didn't. I didn't have any plans for Christmas because we were supposed to go to England, blah, blah, blah. So I was, like, calling everyone I know, like, hey, what you doing on December 25th? Oh, you're going to be hanging out with your family? Oh, cool, cool, cool. You might not know this if you're a completely selfish person, but you cannot even volunteer at the last minute on Christmas. Even the homeless don't want you. That's what I found out. But I ended up going to Mexico for New Year's with some friends, and I was like, okay, you know what? I got to get these ghosts out of my vagina. I got to get a palate cleanser in here. Somebody, anybody, you know? And I chose this guy, and I chose him because he looks so sweet and innocuous. You know, he looked the kind of guy who'd be really grateful, you know? The kind of guy who would understand that this would be like a once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity for him. The kind of guy that would let me say to him, you don't look like a Fred. You look like a Josh. I'm going to call you Josh and just take it. So I go back to Fred Josh's hotel room with him, and like things are heating up, and he goes, I can't believe this is happening. And I go, I know. And he goes, no, everyone says you're not supposed to eat the ice in Mexico, but there's ice in all the drinks and you can't not eat the ice, and I just feel so unbelievably ill. And I go, Fred Josh, what are you? Are you afraid you're going to vomit on me? And he goes, no, not vomit. And I go,
oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Fred Josh, are you afraid you're going to shit your pants? And he said, yes. Yes, I am. And I said, what's the percentage? Because if it was less than 30%, I was just going to take my chances. And Fred Josh said, 80%. So that was my hot holiday hookup.
Wow, Melanie Maris, that is hot, and that is a hookup, and there was poop involved.
It had everything.
It had everything you want, really.
No, it took really me on a journey. Yeah, it was just, it was a complete, it was the love everything of stories, you know? It
around just, the world.
It really took me around the world. That is great. Did, I feel for Fred Josh, because I personally have blown many a once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, one with just a crazy nosebleed in the middle of making out. I was somebody, we were a different species. Like, if you look at the chart, where it's like she was, like, fully evolved, and I was knuckle-dragging, and we're making out, and she's like, oh, there's a little, you're drooling on me, and I looked at her face, and it was just completely covered in my nasal blood.
No!
Yeah, so...
Ladies,
but did you close it with Fred Josh?
No,
he's killing himself right now.
Oh, Danny, yeah. He is already dead.
Yeah. Great story.
All right, Blaine Kopach.
I thought you were going to hook up with that deaf guy from the last story. I was kind of disappointed that you didn't hook up with the deaf guy, because deaf guy wouldn't shit on you or give you. He'd probably warn you very loud, I would think. Heads up. I love the idea of Mexican New Year's. I'm going to go home and write some fan fiction about that. So thanks very much for giving me a spec script idea. And this morning at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, I was trying to remember the name of an old open micer in Philadelphia whose name was Fred. And he seemed like he was bitter that his name was Fred. And I was trying to remember his last name because it was equally bad, like Schwantz or Fnorpf. Or something with three F's in it. And I felt bad for Fred. And you calling that guy Josh was an act of kindness.
It's beautiful.
Stephanie.
I think it's like a totally fucked up country song where, like, maybe Fred Josh turns out to be Jesus because you were alone for the holidays. And he's like, you made the right choice, not fucking Fred Josh. He was Jesus. also, I think if next...
Holy shit.
Stephanie Courtney.
That's unbelievable.
That was Flo from Progressive. You believe that, you guys?
Holy shit, I'm switching my policies.
Thank you. I can go now. We needed one more. I can go now. Also, I think that if you're free this Christmas, I think Craig is free this Christmas. So get together. He's out there. He'll be back.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Melanie Maris, let her hear it. That was a great story. I think she totally redeemed that first story.
I thought the first story was... I don't want to take anything away from the first story. I just wish we could get the anal bleaching in the body of the 1 minute.
Yeah, I see.
So to speak.
Sweet cheeks. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true 2 minute story is Bob Gullup.
Yeah!
All right, you guys, here he comes. Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel, Bob.
Spin the wheel, Bob.
This bit brought to you by Orange Julius. We put an egg in it so you might die. The life or death smoothie at Orange Julius.
No, you did breakup.
You already did that. You got to do it again. Spin again.
This is.
Oh no.
He did breakup.
Hooking up. Hooking up. No, you're good. You're good. Hooking up.
All right. Hooking up. All right. I'm fucking going blank. There's just so many horrible stories. Oh, God, I'm just blanking.
What about the one you love, Bob?
The one what?
The one you love, the one that got away.
All right. Shit.
What's a hookup you regret?
What about the one in prison? Go back to zero, though.
All right, so I was dating... Hookup. Jesus Christ.
The last time you got laid, Bob.
I don't want to get personal about that. All right, so hooking up. All right. So I met this girl in high school, and she was beautiful. I mean, she was beautiful, and it was actually, I never had sex, but it was the first time I ever kissed her, you know? And when I kissed her, she smelled like corn. And I got turned on to, like, every time we would have corn for dinner, you know? So here we are. I'm one of, you know, eight kids, and we're eating, and they say, you know, pass the corn, and everyone's there, and we're having corn. I have, like, this erection underneath the table where everyone's eating, and they're saying, pass the corn. I go to pass the corn. I can't pass the corn because my hand's shaking, you know? So every time my mother would say, hey, what do you want for, as your vegetable? Broccoli. No fucking corn. No corn. To this day, I still get horny when I smell corn. I get erection. And it's the weirdest thing. I know. And corn don't even match up for me. Corn goes right through me. So I have a love-hate relationship with corn. So I love corn because I get horny, but it goes through me, right through me. Like, I literally could take it and tuck it right to the toilet. And so, but you know what? The corn thing now in her, when I see her, I swear to God, I went to a class reunion. There she was, and I thought about corn. Isn't that crazy? And so now when I go out with a girl, if I go somewhere and she says, you want corn? I go, yes, I want fucking corn. Are you kidding me? Let's have corn right now. And that's my story.
Yeah. Bob Gullah, stay right here. If corn was on the wheel, that would have killed, you know?
Does this apply? I just have more questions than really comments. Does this apply to popcorn, for example? So
no,
can you go to a movie?
It was actual the corn. She must have just ate.
Like a corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob, yeah. Not popcorn.
Were you watching her, like, eat it? Was she eating it like this?
No, she must have ate before we went. No, we went out.
So does this apply to any girl who doesn't floss? Or
I don't know. All I know is when she kissed me, it smelled like corn. I got horny, and ever since then, I mean, this now.
Look, Bob, it's a story as old as time. We all can relate, so.
I don't know if I can ever eat corn again. I'll never not think of this. Blaine?
When I was in high school, Bob... I was fond of this girl named Jenny Angel, and she was fond of me too. And we would sit in the basement of her house, and we would watch the one thing, the new video by INXS.
I remember.
Who later hanged himself, auto asphyxiation style. I remember kissing her, and it tasted like scallops.
Scallops,
but
you
there
say.
Were no scallops involved. It was just her natural mouth taste.
Like her pheromones.
Yeah, so I understand sense memories. And as you get older, sense memories become more and more important to you. Like you smell perfume in an elevator and it takes you back to a teacher in second grade and you are in second grade. It will take you straight there. Here's what really triggered me, Bob, and I hate to use the word triggered. But it triggered the shit out of me, Bob. I had a very vivid dream when I was young where I was making out with Wilma Deering from the ABC Buck Rogers TV series. She was, Wilma Deering was played by Aaron.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Aaron Gray. Who was later on, what was she on? Sorry, she was.
Silver Spoons?
She was on Silver Spoons. Anyway, I had a very vivid dream where I was full on making out with Aaron Gray in my dream.
Wow.
And before we started kissing, I was eating potato chips. And in the dream, there were very vivid potato chip particles going back and forth between our mouths.
Yummy.
And that is going to be very hard for me to rub one out to later on. Thanks, Bob.
Stephanie Courtney.
It's called the
unbelievable.
It's pure alcoholism. It's called the hippocampus. That's where those strong memories are stored.
Oh.
Like perfume sealed on the Titanic. You know what? I'm going to tell you, when you launched into the story, it was as if a doctor, your ENT, was like, tell me how corn affects your digestive system. Yeah. And that whole monologue was like what you would tell a doctor. Yeah. And I loved it. And I can't wait for 3 minutes.
Bob Gullah.
Oh, that reminds me, everybody. Next month, come up in San Francisco and catch me at Cobb's. Thanks, Bob. That was for Bob. Bob with the
stage. Oh. Coming to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story. Put your hands together for Mike Falzone.
Yeah.
The
And that wheel. I don't feel like I gave you enough credit in my last review to wear a t-shirt.
No, yeah, you did. You said I was the second funniest Mike Falzone in
no,
the continental
said
United
it.
States.
No, 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 I meant the other Mike Falzone was funnier, or was not as funny as you.
Oh, you're that's not what you said.
Bob knows the other Mike Falzone. You're so much fucking funnier than that Mike Falzone. It's not even funny.
Okay, now I
but
feel
also
better.
Just to wear a
no,
t-shirt
no, great,
with
dude.
Your own likeness on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is...
I, oh, guess, I didn't see that. Forget
I almost did that tonight.
Thank you for giving my forearms this much credit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, holidays. Let's hear it. 2 minutes.
Ah, okay. Shit.
Let's watch your language.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was my big closer, is swearing. I have no great holiday stories. I have very nice holiday stories. None of them are super funny. So my... Dad is one of three, and his two brothers are way more talented than him. And no, he's sweet, but he's, you know, he is just not good at anything. So we would hang out, and we would, his older brother, Tommy, is an amazing guitar player. He actually played Paul in a bunch of Beatlemania bands, and he's Italian, so it didn't work out. And he would play guitar, and then my Uncle Charlie was like this drugged out comedian, so he would like sing funny lyrics to all these Christmas carols and stuff like that, and we loved that so much, and it was great, and while the family was getting along, we would get together, and that didn't last too long, because everyone hated each other, and then half of them died. So... No real ending to that one. I guess death is the ending to that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything better than that. I really don't think so. One year I got a Super Van City. Do you guys remember that? It was a toy. It was a van. And it folded out into a city.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the description's in the name.
Yeah.
And, one year I got a wrestling buddy. Do you know what the wrestling buddies are? They were a stuffed animal that you could have sex with for the first time if you were confused. So I got one of those, and I'm sorry that was a hodgepodge of three stories, but that's as concise as I could be.
It's all right, Mike Falzone, Mike Falzone. All right, now he landed at 138.
Wow, so almost half, so you were, I'm not good at math, but it seems like you were 25% short on that. Yeah. Am I right? How did I do?
That's accurate.
Right, cool.
But I loved hearing about the toys.
What I loved is just the, like, I'm a writer by training and trade, 5 Emmys, and
if you don't believe him, bing it.
Yeah, yeah, just ask Jeeves it. It's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. And a Golden Globe. And the thing is, no, and but I think I was saying this to the people when I was at, when I accepted my Peabody, that...
I'd like to remind everyone I was nominated as funniest internet comedian.
Oh.
Once.
No, but this is a long way of saying is that, like, a lot of your writers are bound by stories structure, mm-hmm. where there's a beginning and a middle and a... And a surprise ending.
Sure.
Boring. And you just eschewed that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Altogether.
Who was the time?
No, it was like it had a performance art structure that I think we can all either admire or loathe. But you are truly a funny person, so I think you coasted on charm. And by the way, that's how everybody makes it. So good job.
Yeah. Blank a patch.
First of all, hey, I'm sorry. I thought you thought that I was saying you were the not funny Mike Falzone. You're much funnier than the other Mike Falzone. I'll say that again. And also, my wife masturbates to you and yells Aquaman.
Cool. Yeah, that's nice.
I look like Aquaman's before picture.
Good information.
Here's what I can't stop thinking about is Italian Beatles songs. I would like to hear Mario singing "Oba la di, oba la da." Oh my God, you gave me a new fucking 10 minutes. It's amazing.
Oh, it's a tight 10.
I once had the girl, or should I say, she will die to me. Oh, me a Mario.
That's racist. I'd like to just point out that that's.
Hey, hey, listen. I can say that because I'm a racist.
Stephanie Courtney.
You know when a, like when there's a therapist who looks at a child's drawing and then there's just like one thing in the drawing where you're like, oh my God, it's the key to like whatever screwed up this child.
Yeah. Yeah.
In your beautiful stories, which I love so much, you're like, and then half my family died. That's where your pain is. Yeah. Investigate those murders. Figure that out.
That's your Nanette.
That's your Nanette. Nanette.
That's Nanette. Yeah, exactly. And I want to say your accent to me, I'm East Coast too. Mm. Portuguese?
No.
Okay.
Italian.
I'm a fool. All right, then never mind.
Where'd you grow up?
Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling Portuguese. I'm telling you. All right, I'm gonna stop it. But
just, yeah, just say Portuguese.
And yeah, please to win. But you're delightful, and so I could listen to you all day. So there you go.
Mike Falzone, let him hear it, you guys. Mike Falzone. That was exciting. You know, holidays, etc. Okay, so. Just trying to, okay, the next person
not
can figure that out.
Not to be confused with Mike Calzone or Mike Friendzone. Both no. Not nearly as funny as
not
Mike
as
Calzone.
Funny as that, Mike.
Coming to the stage right now, you guys, for a true two-minute story is our audience member, Craig. Oh, come on up, Craig. Yeah, let's do this.
Learn about things.
All right, here tell them what to do, guys.
That wheel.
This spin brought to you by Rice Pilaf, when you really should have gotten a baked potato now that you think about it. Rice Pilaf.
Interviews.
That guy did that, so I'm going to copy him. This is what a professional does, right?
Yeah, they take the mic out. Now move it so they can see you. There you go.
There you go.
You're fooling us.
All right. So interviews are something that have become a giant part of my life. It's the one thing I'm good at in my life at this point, but it's only because I've had hundreds of interviews throughout my whole life. My first interview of my life... I submitted a resume to Blockbuster Video, which was my dream job. Absolute dream. I went in there twice a day for the first 14 years of my life. And I remember constructing this resume saying, like, I watch videos all day and study them. I can't wait to articulate my knowledge of videos to all the customers. And every day when I'd go in to pick up my 5 video games and movies, I'd, like, wink at them because I knew they had my resume. And I just... It was more depressing every day. I never got the call back. So I was like, all right, I got to have a backup plan. You know, I'm 15 years old. Mom said I need to get a job. So I go into Pizza Hut right next door, and I'm like, Pizza Hut, listen to me. I'm the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. Here's my resume. And guess what? 2 days later, I hear back. At this time, I'm an anarchist vegan. I don't eat pizza. I don't eat meat or cheese. So it's really a miserable job. I don't want it at all, but Mom said I need the job, and I didn't get the dream job. So this is the second best thing that could happen to me. So I get the call back. I go in. Well, first I stop at Goodwill. I get a nice pleated pair of black pants, size 40 waist. I'm about a size 33 at this point, so they're kind of big, but they look good. I get the nice, you know, lined blue shirt. I go in there with all this hubris, and I'm just shaking. I'm sweating. I'm dripping sweat, and they're sitting across from me like, what makes you think that you can make a good pizza? And I'm just like sweating bullets. I'm like, I've watched pizzas for years. My grandma used to force feed me Tombstones fresh out of the freezer. I didn't want to allude that I didn't eat pizza anymore because that would just kill it. And then I wouldn't be able to get a car when I turned 16. And so it was rough, but I got the job and I couldn't spread a ladle of sauce. You saved my life. I love you. Thank you.
All right, Craig. Nice story. Yeah, that was a great interview story, wasn't it, Stephanie?
Yes. Okay. Number one, you were the best thing to happen to Pizza Hut and still are. And number two, I think you're a ghost from 1992. I just love how you're like, oh, I'm trying to get this job at Blockbuster. It's just like, Craig never existed. Or like, Craig died in 95. But you are charm personified, and you're adorable. So tell more stories.
Blaine.
Yeah, you know, I think he died 10 years ago tonight, Stephanie.
I feel cold.
Can you feel it? It's cold over here, isn't it?
But just here.
Does everybody see him? Can everybody see him? Scott Farkas all grown up. Hey, I gotta say, I would like to see your Blockbuster interview on tape.
I have the resume, still.
You do have the resume?
I'd love to send it.
Do you have any skills that you listed on your Blockbuster resume?
I sit in my mansion all day watching videos. It was a lie.
come here.
Oh, sorry. Hey, how's it going, audience?
Now you need the mic back again.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was I lied. Straight bold lied in the resume.
So you lied on your job interview.
I did.
Well, no further questions, Your Honor.
Danny Zucker.
No, I definitely get sort of like a less talented Kurt Cobain thing. Also, from the 90s, I will say this, and to your credit, like, you don't have to be a vegan to not like Pizza Hut. Yeah, so, you know, I also don't like it. You are very poised and good, and I'm now going to, you know, I had the counter argument saying, like, hey, give up, it's probably not worth it. But you should probably try for another 6 to 9 months to make it, for sure.
It usually happens in the first 9 months.
Because you are truly funny and poised. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah,
and that's not easy to do. I've been doing this show for a while, and audience members they're usually quite horrible.
Yeah, look at this guy.
I know.
Oh,
I mean, come on. Get the spotlight on this guy. I'm fucking with you. You're great. Give this guy a round of applause, you guys.
Yeah. No, but seriously, great job, and keep at it.
All right.
The nicest thing anyone's ever said.
That's so sad.
This has been such a nice moment, Craig.
I called him a ghost.
Oh, my God. Nice. Making dreams come true. Yeah. Danny Zucker, you're a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm unlisted.
It was really funny. I actually laughed out loud.
That's amazing.
All right. All right. Maybe you'll give him a ride back to the hostel later.
If I didn't do it for that beautiful Spanish girl who was here last week.
You're confusing him with Louis Anderson. What? Where did I lose you guys?
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up for the final contestant in the 2-minute round is Fielding Edlow. Let her hear it.
Fielding Edlow.
All right. Woo! All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Yeah, spin the wheel, yeah. It's been brought to you by Almond Joy and Mounds, reminding you don't really like coconut that much.
Those are genius, Blaine. I'm loving every one of them.
Holidays.
Holidays. Okay, so somebody did marry me, just so you know. I know it doesn't look like that. I married an actor, but believe me, you don't know him. Okay, I'd be wearing a much nicer hoodie. Okay, so our first vacation home, like, we're just boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, I just wanted a boyfriend. I didn't want to get married. You know what I mean? Because I never had a boyfriend, so I just went from whore to hostage. But, like, so we're going back home to meet his family for the first time, his Irish family, and I'm, like, dreading it because I know it's going to be, like, 20-hour-long stories and just into the night, whatever, because I'm a Jew from New York. So he schedules our flight back home through Orbitz. I was like, ew. Like, nobody's done Orbitz in, like, generations. I don't even know what it is. So if there's a what do you call a flight? Like a stop, yeah. So I'm like, ew, but then there's a blizzard. So the pilot goes, and everyone, I would start booking hotels now. We're going to be landing in Denver. Okay? So I was like, fuck. So we get there, and like people, it's like a scene out of Alive. Like people are like pushing people out of the way just to get on the only bus from the airport because I'm not staying in the airport. So we get on, and that's when my husband tells me later, that's when I knew I wanted to marry you, which is like, ew, I thought that was gross. Okay, but I like it. So we get there. My birth control pills are in my luggage. So I'm like, that cock is not going into my pussy. Woo! Like, I can't even tell you. And then, of course, I'm not blowing him because, like, we're so, like, hungry and tired and irritated. So we get through that. We finally get a flight, like, 5 days later. By the way, there literally is no fucking. Like, we go to the Denver version of the Apple Pan and fight about craft. Like, we're having arguments about acting. Right. So we get there, and then we end up going to Baltimore, and I know. Ew. It's not Ellicott City. Yeah, it's not even Baltimore. And so we get in this huge fight, and afterwards he asks me to marry him.
Whoa.
And I say out loud, that's nice of you. And then I said yes. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Fielding Edlow. Look at the time. A perfect ending.
You said your last word and then glass crack.
It was unbelievable.
It was your magic.
It was perfect timing, was you guys. What do you think, Danny?
I mean, so much. You're a gifted storyteller, clearly. That's amazing. There's a couple conflicting things. You were hungry, and yet you wouldn't blow him. There's a bunch of stuff there.
That is a loving spoonful right there.
Yeah, it really was. A 10cc song.
Yeah, 10cc,
If we're going to name bands named after jizz, let's do that.
Alice in Chains.
Yeah. It goes on. No, it's great. I kind of, you know, it's... I've always done really well with women with really low self-esteem, and it sounds like your husband has this in spades to marry you after that. So yeah. I'm a sucker for that. I'd be the 55-year-old version if women didn't hate themselves. So so thank you,
Blaine.
I love dropping the apple pan. Like half the people in the audience here aren't from Los Angeles. Local jokes get you local work. That's what I've learned. Just saying. I take that into account whenever I go to Elko and I don't do my apple pan bit. I thought that was fantastic. I would have blown him for the nutrients.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, you're so fucking funny. That's it.
You are so fucking funny. And here's just a little disclosure. I was her husband's roommate for a couple of years.
What?
And I had to watch that man eat an entire chicken, then eat the bones afterwards.
Oh,
so I can tell you that you are the best thing that ever happened to Larry goddamn Clark. And you guys are the best couple. And it's just wonderful to like figure out your past together.
Is he a cat?
He's.
Oh, I thought you were going to say catch. And
he's,
I was like, no,
he's
not a cat.
He's amazing.
Neither are you. I'm just going to go say this. I mean, I'm listening to the way you're.
I was a cat.
No, but you're talking. He's terrible. I'm not going to fuck him. He's not a catch.
I got to tell you Larry Clark. And you all know Larry Clark, by the way. He works constantly. He's just one of those actors, a character actor. He works all the time. But when we
He's
lived,
Tom Cruise. Have you seen Tom Cruise?
He's Tom Cruise.
That's
Tom
Larry Clark.
Cruise. And he's totally healthy mentally. We used to live in this apartment. Larry was in this amazing play called Doubt where he played Hitler. And he was proud of that play. So he put pictures of himself from that play around his room. Well, the elderly Jewish couple came to sell the apartment. They're like, we need to look at the apartment. I'm like, of course. So I take them to Larry's room so they can see it. And their faces, there was nothing to fix it. I was just like, and that's the room. And then like scooted them out. So that is my Larry Clark story. God damn it. I wish you many years of happiness.
That's funny. Thank you. Blaine, you got something else?
No, I think that was it.
All right. Fielding Edlow, you guys. Let her hear it. Fielding Edlow.
Also, Fielding is like the least Jewish name I can think of.
I know.
Okay.
Feldman. Interesting.
Yeah, she changed it for show business.
This is the exciting part of the game where you guys
tough
are going
to
take these five names. I'm going to give them to Stephanie.
Oh, what?
And two of those names are going to go in this jar right here, and those people are going on to the final round. It's a three-minute round. These guys got 1 minute to choose that. Okay. Choose those two people going on. So you guys got 1 minute. Put the minute on the clock. One more time for Brian at the bar. Thanks, Brian. Rick in the back. You're my very favorite sound guy. You know that. Jim Coughlin. I love you, Jim Coughlin. You know that. Lindsay Floyd is here. Lindsay Floyd. Listen, you guys, we're going to be back here playing Story Smash on April 27th. It's also a Saturday. We'll be here at 7 o'clock p.m. I know. It's like the witching hour. I don't know what the 7 o'clock slot is, but okay. Also, this show that you're hearing right now, you can hear on the Story Worthy podcast, which is going to be up in just a few weeks, and this show will be available there on the show. Okay, they're moving on. I have told in the past what I did to get this wheel. You know, this kind of wheel, this isn't cheap. This is a $580 wheel. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I sold all my gold jewelry to get that wheel. That's what I did. So it's really a wheel of gold. And here to my right is my clock. You know, you might think, what is a clock? Who cares? But you know what, this clock, you know, the guys, that's a $120 clock. And you know how I got that clock? No, not that. I sold my breast pump. There you go. Okay. I'm a giver. I give the milk and then I give the... All right, you guys, are you ready to go or what? Okay, so look how serious they are. They're taking this very seriously. Well, the winner is getting chocolate chip cookies. So
I think we're
going
to end
nothing.
Up going to Mel's.
Is that right? Okay. Two names are going in the jar right now. They're on the thing. Okay, one is going in and then there's another one going in. And this is exciting. Hey, also, big round of applause to Lindsay at the box office. When you leave the show, you say, thanks, Lindsay. You're a great box office girl. Woo! Oh, I do love Lindsay. Oh, now they're changing their mind.
No,
this is how the show goes. It's complicated, you guys.
No, they won't let us do three.
No, you can't do three. You got to do two. Two names go in this jar. Two names go in this jar. And they're fighting. But it happens. You know, that happens. People fight on this show.
Come on, Buttigieg. Buttigieg.
And so so they're not sure.
Put Elizabeth Warren in there. Come on, put Elizabeth Warren in there.
She might show up. You don't know. Okay, you guys, two people are in this jar right now, and they're coming to the stage right now for a true three-minute story, and that person's name is Fielding Edlow. Here she comes. Tell her what to do, you guys.
It's been brought to you by Prim Nevada, a great place to throw up on the way home from Vegas.
Pets!
Those are amazing.
This is 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Okay. And what is this?
All right.
Settle in, pets.
I have two cats, and one of them's name is Larry. I had Larry before I married Larry. So there are two Larrys in my house. So it's confusing. So I'm like, and also the Larry, by the way, when I go to the vet and they find out that my cat's name is the same name as my husband, I'm like fucking Jim Gaffigan at Madison Square Garden. Like they fucking lose their shit. So when we were moving into our house, like from the condo, and I was like dying because I'm like, by the way, my husband and I were like, thank you, Stephanie, we're like one dead cat away from divorce. Like, no, we're like one unvalidated ArcLight parking ticket away from somebody getting anthrax in their puffins. Okay, like I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, of course he's not here right now because he's home like jerking off to his own reel. Like he's like, oh my God, look at me. I was the traffic cop on Moesha. Like I was the horny locksmith on SVU Ronkonkoma. Whatever the fuck he does. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Suck my dick. I meditated twice today. Okay. So before we're moving, I made that clear. I'm a Jew from New York. So we hire our personal organizer to help us move our cats before we move, okay? Because we're like, we can't handle it. Like, we can't do anything. Like, we're both sober, but it's like, we're like super present with our own disappointments. You know what I mean? But we can't do anything. But we're like awake, and so it's sad. Okay, so she takes the cats, and we have the cats spend the night in our new house before we go in our house. So it's like, just settle in. We lock them in a room and crack the window. That's nice of us. You look disturbed. There was food and water. That's what we did. So then, I'm pregnant at the time. I forgot. I blocked that out. Okay. So I have a six-year-old. I call her my little cock block. I'm sorry, her Hebrew name is cock block. So I am. So that the next day, I go to I teach at LACC creative writing. I'm a good person, and so I go. I'm there, and then I get 29 texts, and they're like, "Larry's escaped. Larry the cat, not Larry my husband." Okay, so we don't know where the and he's my baby. He was my firstborn son. He's my first. Like our daughter says. I have two furry brothers. So he escapes. We can't find... Then we figure out that this... By the way, he's so fucked up, Larry the Cat. Like, he's like a model from the 80s. You know what I mean? He's just totally fucked up. So we have to get a neighbor, our organizer, and Larry's brother, Jerry, to climb under our house to get Larry. With math. Like, it looks like a fucking... Okay, so then they kind of get him, and I hear, and this is just through text, that Larry scurries out... He's in a new house, has no idea where he is, and runs into the pool. Then Larry the man gets him, and he puts his fang into his wrist. Larry goes to Cedars, and I don't go because I'm not his emergency contact. His brother is. Thank you very much.
Fielding Edlow. Wow. A great story. Again, right on time. She was at like 3:02, like a perfect time. And a great story, Stephanie.
Oh, my God. I catered with Larry and Jerry for so many years. I am so sorry, but it all makes sense to me. I love hearing stories about you guys. You guys are like two forces of nature that complement each other so well. That cat's not going to survive.
No.
Not at all. Are they still alive, those cats? Oh, my God. That's amazing. You're an amazing storyteller. You're so freaking funny. That's all I got to say.
She didn't buy you the wine.
No, she didn't.
Okay, she wanted to.
But
okay.
I did steal her. I saw those sneakers when I went visited her last, and I bought a pair just like them. Okay, bye.
Oh, okay. Glenn Kapach.
Yep.
You said that you teach at L.A. Community College, and you're a good person. I take issue with that. I also thought it was fascinating that your husband, Larry, has a brother named Jerry.
Is there a Harry?
There should be.
How many?
So many brothers and sisters.
How many total?
Oh, so many. His
name them.
Three. Michael, Marty, Jerry, and Ronnie. But Ronnie was Veronica, and she was Miss Maryland.
Oh. Miss Maryland?
Oh, interesting. Let's get her on the show.
I know. She'd be great.
Wait, I was married to Miss Maryland for a couple of years.
You
are you
were?
Telling me?
You were married to Ronnie Clark.
I was... What? He said his name was Juanita.
Danny Zucker.
Here's the thing. You're one of the best storytellers I've ever had on this show. Would you agree with that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are big words.
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
Hey, somebody got their wings.
It's amazing. And
Danny Zucker.
I know. And my vet story... So I can never go to our vet because I'm also a cat. Oh, I will say this. Like, we had a cat named Woody. Oh. And we loved Woody. And it was like, oh, we're going to go away. Who's going to watch Woody? I'm like a crazy cat. And then my wife had twins. And it was, for me anyway, get this fucking animal off the bed. I don't care about it anymore. I did have a little of that. Yeah. But my vet, I can't talk to anymore because I was in the writer's room. And, you know, you're in a writer's room, comedy writers, you're telling jokes. And I don't even know that my dog, Tessa, has gone to the vet. So I have no idea, but I'm the emergency contact. So the vet, I'm on speakerphone in the writer's room. Hi, I'm speakerphone. I say, yeah, I'm Dr. So-and-so, and I just want to let you know Tessa's okay. I go, I didn't realize that she was in the vet. What's going on? And he said, she has an infected vagina. And then I said, oh, should I get tested? And then... and it was just silence.
Oh,
and I said, my wife will call you back. And I hung up. And to this day, I have never seen... This is like 8 years ago. I've never been able to face my vet again. Oh my God.
Is that cat alive?
Yeah,
the dog is still there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's amazing. Dog has chlamydia now, but it's a different story.
Yeah. Blank batch.
Yeah, I already went, thanks.
Oh, you already went. Stephanie Gordon.
I could talk about your dog.
Everybody went.
Thank
you. All right, you guys, let her hear it. Fielding Edlow. Okay, you guys, the final storyteller's name is in my hand right now, and they're coming up for a true 3-minute story. So a big round of applause for the one and only Melanie Maris.
Yay, Melanie Maris.
Melanie Maris, she's adorable. Let her hear it, you guys. Tell her what to do.
Yay.
Spin the wheel. A nice spin.
The spin brought to you by Free Guys Burgers. Fuck those other two guys. Free Guys Burgers, you know what you did.
No pressure, Melanie, but you were the one we were arguing. You know, it was a lot of arguing. It was very close in your case.
Oh, can you believe this?
Audience. Oh.
Now, she's a pro, so she can do it.
No, but I know, but she got audience twice. Doesn't she get enough? No?
Well, what do you think?
No, I guess.
No, we've never seen this situation. This is a very exciting situation.
It's your show. I guess it could be anything, so go.
She once landed on audience, and now she's landing on it again. So what do? Do we let her spin again, or do we go, we're spinning again. Spin it again.
All right, great.
Well, you know, she landed on it twice. Fair enough. That's a tiny spin.
Oh, I hope it's audience. You deserve it.
All right, you guys. What do you want to hear? What do you want to hear?
Jakarta.
Airplanes. What? Me Too movement. Sex. Virginity. AirPods. What's happening? All right, you guys. What are you going to hear? Virginity? You want to hear about Jakarta? We get that all the time. I'm exhausted.
Whatever you guys decide.
Jakarta?
You know what? I'm sure she probably has some interesting cultural commentary comparing Jakarta to the United States.
Yeah.
And I would like to hear
in
what
Jakarta. She
would
think.
We do it. Jakarta. Here she goes.
Okay.
3 minutes.
Okay. All right. So you guys know my dad is Indonesian. My mom is white. I'm beautiful. That's what 23andMe told me. Okay, so my dad is sick. He has cancer, TB, diabetes, some other shit. But no, don't feel bad for him. Just to give you an idea of what kind of monster my dad is. Okay, so you know Asians don't like dark skin. Nobody, it turns out, likes dark skin. So my youngest niece, so everyone in my family looks like me, right? But my youngest niece, she's dark-skinned, and she doesn't look like this, me. And when she was a tiny baby, my dad would hold her, and he would look at her, and he would say, "You're ugly, and you're not a part of the family."
Oh,
with no irony. I don't know how that could have irony in any context. So anyway, so he's sick. He comes to Los Angeles to go to Cedars-Sinai to get, you know, his cancer cut out, whatever. He goes in. If you're a decent human being, you wait while the person is in surgery. So I'm waiting in the waiting room. And there's this whole like kerfuffle like around me, like, and I'm like, what is happening? And I turn and it's Larry David.
Hello.
And I have a huge crush on Larry David. I have such a boner for him. Anyway, so he is like, he's going back. He's having surgery at the same time as my father. And I was just like, oh my God, this is the closest we've ever been. Me and Larry, it's going to happen. You know, my dad comes out of surgery. He survives. And the nurse is like, oh, your dad wants to see you. You know, he's coming out of his anesthesia. I go back there and I was like, oh, you know, like I'm his only daughter. He's going to tell me that he loves me. And he's like, come here. And he goes, these people don't know that I'm a king. So that was it. He touched death. He came back. That was his message for me. So, you know, they sent him to his room. You know what I'm doing. I'm doing a lap around the floor because I'm looking for Larry. I can't find Larry. You know, my dad, as we know, he survived the surgery. And he's like, he's like hooked up to all these machines, like whatever. And he's telling me like what a horrible daughter I am, what a horrible human being I am, like how he'd rather be dead than have a daughter like me. I'm the only one that's there, literally, because everyone hates him so much. And while he's telling me this, there's all these pillows around the room. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, all I have to do is grab one of these 7 pillows and put it over your face for 2 to 3 minutes. And then I never have to listen to you ever again. But my friend actually told me, oh, Melanie, they'll know he died of suffocation and not cancer. TBW. Oh, shit.
Melanie Maris. Melanie Maris, let her hear it.
God.
All right, listen, we're moving along. Very short commentary.
Yeah, well, first of all, my condolences about your dad surviving. And I know how hard that can be. I knock wood, my dad died. I cried because I had no shoes. You know, it's one of those situations.
All right.
Anyway,
moving on.
Else.
Blaine.
What is up with the name Larry tonight? What the fuck is going on? Is that the code word? So many people involved with Larry this evening. I felt bad about your dad having a lot of diseases, but I will say the best part of tonight was when somebody in the audience over here went, "Oh my God!" Anyway, thanks. Very effective.
Stephanie Courtney.
Again, you know how Fielding is stronger than Coke. You're stronger than your dad. You're a delightful, wonderful human being. And oh my God, protect your spirit.
All right. Let her hear it, you guys. Melanie Maris. Woo! All right, you guys. Now these guys have the very difficult job of choosing the winner of tonight's Story Smash. And that person's going to get my real chocolate chip cookies. I just made them the other day. So you know they're good. Put a minute on the clock. You guys got 1 minute. Let's work this out. You know who's going to win. And again, the next show is April 27th. It's a Saturday night. Please come back. Tickets are already available. And you can tell Lindsay. She's the box office girl. She's adorable. Tell her. Another big round of applause for Rick in the back, Brian at the bar, Jim Coughlin right here. Everybody, thank you so much for coming out. This has been a lot of fun. Let's hear it for all the contestants playing tonight. Fielding Edlow, Mike Falzone, Bob Golub, Craig, that crazy audience guy.
Who is great.
Craig. Loved him. Melanie Maris. That's everybody. So thank you so much for everybody for playing. And you guys look like you already know the winner of Story Smash. So go ahead and announce that winner. The winner of Story Smash for the month of March of 2019. And the winner of these incredible chocolate chip cookies.
Fielding Edlow.
Fielding Edlow. Let her hear. Fielding Edlow. Big round of applause for Danny Zucker, Stephanie Courtney, Blanca Patch. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night.
Thank you.